Happy Sabbath.
Today's scripture reading will be taken from Psalm 118, verse 26 to 29. May God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. From the temple of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God. He has been good to us. Well, with branches in our hands, starts the festival and march around the altar. You are my God, and I'll give thanks. I will proclaim your greatness. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good and his love is eternal. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Celine. I appreciate that. You know, didn't she read that nicely? And it was nice to sit there by her, too, when Brian was singing that song, a good song, gospel song. You could tell Celine likes music. It was kind of watching her kind of move with the music and wanting to go there. And I just consider that such a blessing. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask a favor of you, okay? I see the clock. I'm going to ask if I can have my about a half an hour and go up till about a quarter after, okay? So can we work on that? Can we do that way? Will that work? November, the month of Thanksgiving. Time when the harvests are coming in, the weather is changing, the leaves are going off the trees. It's a time of kind of thinking about the blessings that God has given for us. And I want us to talk about that a little bit today, and I'm actually going to have us talking about that from the hymn books, okay? From the hymn books, two hymn books, actually, if you don't mind, all right? And you've got them in front of you, so that's all right. Let me begin with a word of prayer, shall I, Academy? Heavenly Father, we pray that as we open your book together, that your Holy Spirit will be with us and bless us and inspire us to be thinking about thankfulness, what it means, and how to share those blessings with others. And we thank you, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. How many of you animal fans here? I asked the kids, how many of you have animals? How many of you have a cat? How many of you have a dog? How many of you have both? You know the difference between a cat and a dog? A dog says, oh, wow, you feed me. You take care of all of my needs. You clean up after me. You pet me. You scratch me on the top of the head. You scratch my ears. You even scratch under my chin. Wow, you must be God. A cat says, wow, you feed me, you clean up after me, you pet me, you take care of all my needs, you scratch my ears, you scratch under my chin, wow, I must be God. Attitude. Let's talk about attitude. Today we're going to be talking about an attitude of gratitude. We talk about Thanksgiving, the first Thanksgiving here in the United States, at least the first one that is documented as a Thanksgiving. The pilgrims came here to this country, got off the boat, 1620. There were about 100 of them that had made the trip from England. They were separatists. That is, they wanted to be separated from the Church of England and just to be able to worship the way they wanted to worship. And they got here and had all their freedom in the world, and then they realized freedom meant things like rocky soil that they had never seen before. And there were tricks to how to figure out how to make things grow. That first year, half of them died through the winter. The first Thanksgiving in the fall, we think it was sometime in September-ish, was a time of after the ingathering of the harvest, and that was a pretty big harvest, because if it was not successful, there wouldn't be anybody else left. It was struggle time. And when that harvest was in, it meant, oh, some of us are going to make it through another winter. There were 53 left that were involved in that first Thanksgiving. There were 90 of the natives that were involved, 3 days worth of celebrating. That God had not only given a harvest, but by that, that God had preserved and saved life. Now remember, attitude. The same sun that shines down and melts butter also is the same sun that shines down and bakes brick. The only difference is the substance of that which is being warmed. And that difference makes all the difference in the world. May we be a people of an attitude of gratitude rather than an attitude of entitlement. Your school here is asking a favor of you, asking you to help a little bit. You'll find on the bulletin board just before going into the fellowship hall, little pieces of paper sitting there with some pens. And they're asking you if you would write something that you are thankful for. And if you'd write it, just put it back in. The school children have said they'll cut it out, and so don't have it bleed over the edges of the leaf. But if you would do that, write that out there, the school children will color on it and cut it out and then put it on that bulletin board so we can have a bulletin board of all these leaves of things that we are thankful for. An attitude of thankfulness. Can I ask you to pull your hymnal out? I'm going to take you to the end first. The closing song today is going to be number 560, and it's okay for you to look at it. It's okay for you to look through. I want you to look at the words. About an attitude of gratitude, about the blessings that God has given, and about singing to God about the blessings of what He has. And we will sing that together at the end, okay? While you're looking at that, I want you to pull out your other hymnal. You've got another hymnal there with you. It's the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is actually the book of songs. What were the people of Old Testament times, the people of God, what were they singing? Notice, if you will, the things they were singing. I'd encourage you to go home this afternoon, look through the book, the songbook, and see how much the conversation was about. The things they were singing about was gratitude to God and the blessings that God and of God and the things that He has done. Now, I want you to even turn to the last five Psalms. 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, and notice something, if you would, in looking at them. They all start and end the same way. The first phrase and the last phrase in every one of those Psalms is hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Reminds me, as a kid at camp, any of you do the camp thing as a kid? Any of you do the thing at camp meeting? You know, there was always a thing at camp meeting when I was a youngster. It was always the junior department. The junior department, the boys had to sit on one side and the girls on the other side, and it wasn't because they were made to, it was because we were living in it. That was the age where we wanted it that way. And I remember one of the things that happened, one of the songs that we sang regularly. Do you ever heard the song? Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. You remember that? And as that song went with us kids, it was the part that was singing the hallelujah part. Why, you had to stand up together. And then you sit down quick when the praise ye the Lord part was said. And that was the other side, and that would be, in our case, You know, the guys over here and the girls over here, and the challenge was who could sing it louder, who could get it the most. And it was who could be up and down at the right times. Hallelujah, 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 praise you the Lord. You know what you're singing? Hallelujah is Hebrew. Praise you the Lord is English. It's the same thing. Praise you the Lord is the translation of the word hallelujah. So what were we doing? The whole song was just saying the same thing over and over and over again. Hallelujah to our Lord. Hallelujah to our Lord. Our wonderful God is doing. Hallelujah. Praise you, the Lord. It's saying the same thing. That's what the song is saying. And look through the things that it says in those five songs about what are they praising God for. Can I take you to the last one? Psalm 150. This one might cause a little controversy. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. By the way, Hebrew poetry was about repeating things without repeating the expression without the words. Okay? So when it says praise Him in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty firmament, that's actually meaning the atmosphere that we have is a sanctuary to the Lord. It's not talking about the Hebrew sanctuary where sacrifices took place. It's talking of, it's because it's Hebrew poetry. It's repeating. Praise Him, all of His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. That means, come on, everybody of you that's a part of the world, come on, be praising the Lord. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Whoa. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the flute. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you think of when you come together, throw everything into it. If you've got an instrument, add it to the choir, add it to the orchestra. But could I add something else here? This is in the context of worship. Would that be fair? Is that a fair thing to say? This is in the context of worship. Come together and worship together and use everything. Folks, there is a difference between worship and praise and a cacophony. What do I mean by that? Church where I was at before coming here in Arizona, every Christmas and every Easter, they do a big cantata. Have the big orchestra up front and the choir and all that stuff. Do this cantata on Sabbath. And they always, whoever's the pastor there is supposed to do a little sermonette to go with it. I got so I wanted to do that first before and kind of set up the thing rather than afterwards and be anticlimactic. But anyway, I came up with this crazy idea. You know, it was pretty good, all that musical stuff. It was a great day. Place would be packed. You'd have four times the number of people in church trying to cram into the church and all around to be able to have this orchestra. And they hired ringers, they hired cheaters. So we had some hired help in some of the especially among the orchestra section. You know, some to get some special talents with the special instruments, etc. And I did something with them before when they were setting up and practicing. And the choir director, I mean the director of the whole thing, he was wandering off working with something else, and I especially went to the brass section. Now the brass section, those guys, the brass section can get a little excited. And when they get a little excited and go for it, everybody knows it. You know what I mean? So I went to the brass section when they were warming up. I said, I want you guys to do me a favor. I said, what's that? Now when I give the signal, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to ask you to play under my direction. Now understand, I don't know a thing about music, okay? I tell people the only instrument I play is the radio, and I'm not even good at that. But I said, I'm going to direct. Now, when I say I'm going to direct, I want you guys to rip it. Just do whatever you want, but I want you to make sure you're all doing a different song and all doing something different, okay? And so when I stood up to do my little intro sermonette, I said, I want to show you how well I can lead the orchestra. And I turned around and I started giving them signals and I'm doing all this kind of stuff. And I don't know what I'm doing, so it isn't anything like directing, but I did. And they were ready and they were ripping on it. All of them going for it with everything they had. And everybody's kind of going, God is not saying, let's have a cacophony and make a fool out of ourselves. He is saying, when we praise, why don't we practice? Why don't we plan? And why don't we make it beautiful music to the Lord rather than a bunch of racket? Does that make sense? Funny thing about music, I've been told, you want to be an expert with an instrument? 10,000 hours of practice. A virtuoso on the violin does not get to be a virtuoso by accident. Nor should worship be an accident. When we're praising God, wouldn't it be neat if it was all coming together at once? Isn't that the way it should be? Let everything, put everything in the orchestra. Anything you can get together with anybody that can play, but let's make it sound good. 1 Corinthians says, because all things in God's house should be done with decency and in order. Amen? But let everything praise the Lord. Psalm 118. I like Psalm 118. 118th Psalm. Look at this one. I'm going to ask you to practice with me a little bit later, okay? Because notice what it does. Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, because his mercy endures forever. Verse 2, let Israel now say, what do they say? His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Notice it's a responsive reading, and it's the congregation coming in with the, his mercy endures forever. Notice the way it ends, the last verse. Verse 29, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. As we come together, let's remind ourselves that his mercy endures forever. Can I take you another step further? Can I take you back to the attitude? Can I take you back to the attitude and the attitude of gratitude? We should be more like the attitude of a dog. When we're seeing all the blessings that God has done for us, we should be saying, wow, what a wonderful God that does everything for us. Rather than, wow, what a wonderful God that does everything for us. That must mean we're God. One's an attitude of gratitude, the other one's an attitude of entitlement. Boy, I know some people with an attitude of entitlement. But can I take you a step further? Again, really, really complicated stuff. So complicated that it's on a bumper sticker. If we're going to deal with the attitude of the dog rather than the attitude of the cat, could I take you a step further? It's the bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker says, wag more, bark less. Wag more, bark less. If we're going to be, wag more, bark less. Does that ever remind you of anything? Don't you just love it when the neighbor's dog is braying in the middle of the night or howling at the moon or whatever is going on? Let's remember, wag more, bark less. When we're talking about celebration of what God is, let's be more about thankful and wagging the tail rather than yowling and howling and barking annoying everybody. That makes sense? Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. By the way, ever wonder, What in the world are we looking at this for? Why are we reading somebody else's mail? I'm not Israel, are you? What are you doing? What are we doing reading somebody else's mail? Would you be interested? I can go a whole sermon on that one and show you why we have the right to be reading somebody's mail. Would you be interested in that sometime? We can put the whole thing together. But anyway, let those that are the people of God now praise and say, His mercy endureth forever. Here we go to the controversy part. Verse 5, I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, and He set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Learned that one early as a young minister. I was a young minister just getting started, and I was hanging around some guys, and one of the guys, the guy that I was beginning under, was friends with this nearing retirement pastor. I thought he was 100. He was probably the age I am now. You know, I was 22. He was a veteran, and by the way, veterans, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Well, anyway, this guy, this older pastor, he was a veteran of the Korean War. So, you know, I'm going back 30 some years. So, you know, he was still active in ministry. He was a veteran of the Korean War, and I remember he said one time, remember him talking, he was just talking about something, and he was talking about getting griping, that somebody came in and told him, now, Pastor, you're going to do this, and if you don't, I'm going to call the conference office on you. And he said, I just looked at the lady and laughed, and she didn't know quite what to do when I laughed. And he said, lady, you don't get it, I've been in Korea and I've faced bullets, you can't scare me. Come in handy to remember that a couple of times. I've had a few people tell me along the way, I'm going to call the conference office on you. I'm going to call your boss on you. And my answer is, do you want his number? If you don't have it, I do. You want his number? I can give it to you. What is this stuff we come up with? I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. If the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What is man going to do to me? The Lord is with me, is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surround me. They surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Verse 12, they surround me like bees. Have you ever been in that situation? I remember I was about 6 years old, something like about 6 years old, on the dairy farm. On the farm, it was in the fall. It was time to be harvesting grain. And time to be harvesting grain, we got into the shed where all the equipment is kept. There was kind of a shed put off on the side where all the equipment is kept and taken care of, and the silo filler is a machine that only gets used for about 2 weeks out of the year, and so it kind of sits in the back in the corner of the shed where all the pieces of equipment are, because it only gets used a couple weeks out of the year, only once a year. And so I remember my dad and a bunch of the other guys, my dad and my uncle team farmed, and so it was two of them. And when Uncle Russell bought his farm, Henry kind of came with it. Henry was this kind of unique fellow who was the son of the previous owners. He was the oldest son, and all he had done his whole life was worked. He had never married. So you got this bachelor guy that probably never knew how to read or write or anything else. We don't know if he was, won't know ever if he was really, somewhat handicapped, or if it was just that's all he had was work out in the middle of the farm, but never got a chance. Who knows? But anyway, when Uncle Russell bought the farm, Henry came with it. And so he was just kind of there, and he was there helping too, and there was several other men, I don't remember who, and me, the little six-year-old with him, and we're digging in the shed and pulling out that machine that hadn't seen the light of day in a year, and they're digging and pulling and dragging on the thing, got it out and started opening it up to get it set up to work, and it was about that time we found it was a quiet, dry place, and the bees liked it. And so they had set up a nice big nest in this machine, and when we start opening it up, they didn't like that very well. All of a sudden, pandemonium broke out. We had bees coming at everybody. And so here's the men, different ones grab their hat and they're swinging at those things and backing up and trying to run and trying to back up and trying to swing at bees all at the same time. And I'm kind of allergic to the things, and my dad knew that, and I was just a little guy, and he got scared to death, so he grabbed me up and went running while he's swatting with the other hand with his hat, and swatting and running and grabbing me and holding me, stuffs me in the front of the pickup truck that we had to get me safety, throws me in there, says, "Don't move until I get back," slams the door shut, and I wouldn't have moved except when he opened the door, one of the bees came in with me. So now all of a sudden, here I am in this pickup truck cab all by myself with a bee, he and I looking at each other eye to eye. He was as stunned as I was and didn't know what to do any more than I did. But the one thing I did know, this was one of those times when I disobeyed my dad. My dad said, "Don't you move and don't open that door until I get these bees out of here." And I decided I did not want to be in there with just me and the bee. And so I opened the door to get out of there. And the bee wanted out of there as bad as I did, so he got out. And then I crawled back in the truck and shut the door. And then I could watch the show and just enjoy and relax watching the show. Watching a bunch of grown men trying to dance and trying to hop and trying to swat and trying to run and do all this at the same time. Pandemonium broke out there. Finally, things calmed down. And the men were kind of standing together, and they had been, you know, they're kind of exhausted and kind of tired, and your energy, your emotions, and your adrenaline has kind of been running, and now they're kind of coming down, and they're standing there, and they're all kind of laughing at each other. "Well, you didn't look too good in that. You look like kind of a coward," and they're all talking to each other, and Dad lets me out of the truck, and I come up there, and we're standing there together, and Henry, bless his name, Henry, he was the bachelor that Uncle Russell inherited, and Henry says, "Man, that was so bad. I can still hear those bees buzzing away." To which one of the men said, "Henry, were you swatting those bees with your hat?" "Yeah." "Pull your hat off. Maybe there's a bee in there." And he did, and the bee flew away. Then he didn't hear bees spinning at him anymore. Have you ever felt like the bees are coming at you from all directions? Everything going crazy. What's going on around here? How could this be? I can't go anywhere without being attacked from another direction. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like fire and thorns. But in the name of the Lord, I will prevail. Thanksgiving, what is it? Well, everybody knows what Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is eating too much and watching a football game. Thanksgiving is about a special time of commemorating together what God has done. I remember church I was at. You could always count on Buster. Whenever you asked for a testimony, Buster would, you knew the testimony, and it was a power testimony, powerful testimony. From years before, 30 years earlier, when Buster had his own business, and at the time doing pretty well with his own business, and he'd tell about the time that 30 years before he decided he wanted to be a Sabbath-keeping Christian, and he took his stand and he lost his job for it. And from that, he ended up with this business that was doing full well on its own, and he didn't have Sabbath problems, it was his own business. And you could count on Buster to tell this story. And after a few times of hearing it, people started wondering, "That's nice, Buster, but that was 30 years ago. Has the Lord done anything for you in the last 30 years? Folks, when we start thinking about and talking about what has the Lord done for us, can I suggest we talk about what has the Lord done for us since the last Thanksgiving, not what has the Lord done for us 40 years ago? Does that make sense? By the way, we have nothing to fear for the future unless we forget how God has led in the past. And we ought to be saying that over and over. Our testimony is power of how God has led in the past. Has God led in your life in the past? Is God leading in your life now? Has God worked any blessings in your life? It was church that I was at. When I came there to be the pastor, they said, "Oh, pastor, we don't have enough room to do the ministries we need to do." So we started talking and praying and talking and praying and talking and praying. They decided they really needed a multi-purpose building, needed a building to be able to do more of the different ministries and things that were going on. But where in the world was the money going to come for this? So I started praying and sacrificing and working and going. The long and the short of it is, 4 years later, the building was up. They had gone into sacrificing and saving together, working together, struggling together, had a faith factor in there, had a 3-year campaign of giving. Most of us that could decided to put a 4th year in there to keep it, to get it done, get it taken care of. And now people were getting tired, and they're still, by the way, it was $1.5 million. That was a little like money. Still had $250,000 left on this thing. Decided, we're going to have to come together and we're going to have to reset another pledge campaign, but $250,000 should be a whole lot easier than $500,000. I mean, you know, than $1.5 million. So we can do this. And we were planned, and we had a church business meeting, and we came together, and I'm supposed to lead the thing out. So I'm leading there, and I said, "All right, guys, you know, there is a possibility of what we should do. And, you know, probably we should repledge and plan on what we're going to do." And about that time, a lady stands up from about halfway in the middle there. Of course, I knew her. She was the church treasurer. She says, "Pastor Jim, let me interrupt you." I said, "Yeah." She got a smile on her face and says, "Pastor Jim, we don't need to do that. I've been just busting inside because I haven't been allowed to tell. But somebody handed me a check for that $250,000, and here's the receipt from the bank that we are paid in full." What do you do at that point? You know what we did? We sang the doxology. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." You believe that? I've seen it happen again and again. Another church I was at, I came in to do the interview for that, of whether the pastor in that church, and they said, "Boy, you drew the short stick, dude." I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, this church desperately needs to redecorate together." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, we desperately need to redecorate, and we even put a committee to do it. And the lady that's in charge of the committee has come together. We need $250,000 to do it. And we've decided that maybe, 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 if we stretch ourselves, we might be able to come up with $10,000 in the next 3 years. And when I told the lady that's in charge of the committee this, the finance chairman said, she won't even bring the committee together because she says it's a waste of time. Furthermore, we got all mad at each other the last business meeting we had, and the business meeting made a vote. There's a vote from the business meeting that we will never bring up the subject again for the next 5 years. I said, "I never heard of such a thing. First of all, you can't do that." The bottom line is, 4 years later, done and paid for. Do you believe God can do the miraculous? I want to hear things from this church. I've been hearing the youth saying, we need to have a youth meeting one evening. Can we do that? Why not? We've had people say, the committee say, we need to be redoing the bathrooms. Anybody think maybe we could redo some bathrooms here? Do you believe God can do the miraculous? I have seen when God's people come together and plan and pray and sacrifice. God's plan, God's people behind God's plan. Let's see what God can do. Amen. Do you believe that in your own life? We pray and we plan and we give it everything. Do you believe God can do the miraculous? Come now. Let's come together and have prayer meeting. And have praise and celebration meeting. And throw everything into the celebration. All of the everything we had. All the music, all the prayer, all the everything. And praise to the Lord rather than complain about what isn't being done. An attitude of gratitude that this is our God. And let's pray together and ask him, as we celebrate what he's done for us, what does he have for us to do next? And let's see what God has in it. Could I encourage you? Would you do something with me? Would you take your Bibles as we conclude and turn to hymn number, Psalm 118. I want to read those first four verses and then verse 29. And will you come back with me on the reverberation? Will you do that? Like when I say, go give thanks to the Lord for he's good, come back with the, because his mercy endures forever. Would you do that? It's in those verses. It's verse chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and then verse 29. Will you do that for me? You got it? You there? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let Israel now say. Let the house of Aaron now say. Let those who fear the Lord now say. Verse 29, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our God. We thank you for sending your Son to be our salvation. We thank you for all the wonderful things you have done for us, corporately as a people and personally ourselves. We thank you for the way you have blessed and guided those who came together to build and to create this church here in Worcester. We thank you for the way you're blessing and guiding in each of our lives. We thank you for the ministries that you've given us. We thank you for the challenge that you've given us to represent your last day message and name in this second largest community in all of New England. We thank you for being our God and for blessing. We thank you for the blessings that you've done for us. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise because we've prayed it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd ask you to take your hymnal now to hymn number 560. Hymn number 560. Let all things praise together the name. And as the singers come to lead us, can we sing it out together as one song of praise, of open lifting the rafters together as we sing hymn number 560 together. Our God of blessing. We thank you. We praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.